Chapter 51. Going Bush. I'd been dating Peter Bluey for some months, whilst at the same time continuing to live with Wendy Hooper and her children at Hunters Hill. I returned to Sydney after having spent a couple of weeks over the Christmas of 1978 in searing heat, helping to build an imposing mudbrick homestead for the Hooper family at Horse Creek, south of Wagga Wagga. Wendy planned to leave Sydney once her kids were through high school and had embarked on their chosen career path. Peter and I had also discussed leaving Sydney, as we no longer had ties to the city and were yearning for a quieter life. Our grand plan was to renovate the tumble-down cottage, belonging to Peter and his business partner, at Bow Creek, east of Deepwater, in northern New South Wales. When the cottage was fully renovated, we'd move in. Privately, I wondered how it would work, both personally and professionally, as Bow Creek was quite isolated, and the facilities were basic at best, similar to a holiday cottage. But, in spite of my misgivings, we decided to go ahead with the renovation. Word of mouth produced a Glen Innes building team, led by Charlie Elder, who were prepared to drive 50 kilometres to and from Bow Creek on weekdays, for the duration of the renovation. We began work by ordering new windows, removing what was left of the old floor, and evicting the wombats, before replacing the rotten stumps with brick piers, new hardwood bearers and floor joists, to support cypress pine tongue and groove flooring throughout. Next, the corrugated iron roof was removed, after which pre-painted kainite sheeting was placed on the round timber purlins, then a layer of sarking, before replacing the iron and painting it. The objective was to improve both the insulation and the aesthetics of the building's interior. I noticed a hole in the mantelpiece above the fireplace, in the living room. On closer inspection, I could see it was a bullet hole. I made inquiries to discover that many years ago there had been an accidental firearm discharge. The bullet going over the head of the woman of the house, who was seated by the fire, nursing her new baby. The bullet lodged in the thick mantelpiece timber, a permanent reminder of a heart-stopping near-miss. There was yet another poignant story about this nameless woman, who rode her horse to visit neighbors. In her saddlebag, she carried her high-heeled shoes. On arrival, she would dismount, tie up her horse, and then swap her riding boots for high heels, before walking to the front door. Clearly, this woman was determined to maintain her dress standards, in spite of living in the back blocks of New England. The Bow Creek renovation continued. Peter and I would drive up from Sydney to work with Team Charlie. Being on site made it easier for everyone, because with any major renovation, there were always details to be discussed and decisions to be made. One job I was busting to do was to spruce up the hand adz timber slabs that formed an internal wall between the living room and the space that would become Peter's office. The slabs had been covered with sheets of newspaper, glued across the gaps, to reduce the draft. Fragments of newspaper still clung to each slab. I planned to soak off the newspaper and give the slabs a good scrub, and when dry, return them to their original position. The best place to do the scrubbing was down at the creek, some 250 metres from the cottage. I numbered each heavy slab, and carried them down, one at a time to soak in the gently flowing water. After a good scrub, I left them to dry on the grass. When replaced, they looked fabulous, and I congratulated myself on successfully honouring a fragment of Bow Creek's settler past. Because there was no electricity to the site, progress was slow, with every saw cut made by hand and every nail driven with a hammer. Occasionally, I'd feel completely overwhelmed with the enormity of the renovation. To regain perspective, I'd climb to the top of the nearby hill, overlooking the site. From this vantage point, the cottage and the old pear tree, growing on the northern side of the building, appeared very small. The tree was a sentinel of sorts, planted by the original settlers, and a living reminder of the generations that had come and gone from this place. Somehow, It had survived decades of unreliable rainfall and hungry stock. One day, Team Charlie and I had a heavy hardwood beam to lift into place, above the enlarged opening between the kitchen and the living room. Measurements had been checked and rechecked, and the necessary saw cuts made. We were ready to go, but we had a problem. There were only three of us, which meant that there was insufficient combined strength required for the horizontal lift. One more strong person was needed. What to do? I wandered outside and stood underneath the pear tree, hoping for inspiration. When I looked up, I saw a man on a horse approaching from the south. I wondered if I was dreaming, because it was extremely unusual to have visitors in this remote part of New South Wales, let alone on horseback. The fella explained he was searching for his missing stock. No doubt his cattle were the ones that could occasionally be seen enjoying free grazing on Bow Creek, as the boundary fences were down in places. After we had explained our dilemma, he dismounted and helped us to lift the beam into place, before remounting and heading off to continue his search. Yet another memorable Bow Creek experience occurred one clear afternoon. I'd wandered away from the building site to the east. Deep in thought, I looked up to see a Royal Australian Air Force F-111, flying southwards, only 20-something metres off the ground. For some seconds, I made eye contact with the co-pilot, who was looking down at me as the aircraft sped past. I don't know who was more surprised, he or me, and I was thankful I was fully clothed at the time. With the Bow Creek renovation almost complete, Peter hired a high-sided trailer in Sydney and loaded it up with his furniture for the run to deep water. Once the furniture was in place, our little cottage was becoming a home. But as the relocation date loomed, Peter had a last-minute change of heart. We wouldn't be moving to Bow Creek. I did wonder if Peter's U-turn was driven by his eldest daughter's forthcoming marriage into the deepwater squatocracy, or the embarrassment he may have caused her by living a semi-alternate lifestyle nearby, with me, his much younger girlfriend? Or maybe, the basic living conditions at Bow Creek reflecting badly. Or the 8-hour drive to Sydney, that would make it difficult to service his accountancy clients? Or possibly all of the above. With plans to move to Bow Creek now scrapped, we had to find alternate accommodation if our newish relationship was to be given a chance to develop. I was always on the lookout for interesting work, and had recently applied for a year-long hand weaver in residence position with the Goulburn College of Advanced Education. Goulburn was a large, prosperous country town, a 2-hour drive from Sydney, on the highway to Canberra. Peter was aware of my application, and one Saturday morning he suggested we drive down and check out the area. We took the back road through Bungonia, where he pointed out a property he'd once owned, when his Parramatta accountancy practice was booming. When we got to Goulburn, we lunched at the iconic Paragon Cafe, one of the hundreds of Greek cafes in regional Australia. After lunch, we decided to wander Goulburn's main street to get a feel for the town. Whilst wandering, we scanned the real estate agent's windows to price property, both in and out of town. In one agent's window, we saw the faded photograph of a grand 10-room Federation house, on half an acre, perched high on a shale ridge, with a view out over the city and environs, for $24,000. I was excited. Deciding to strike while the iron was hot, the obliging agent took us to inspect the empty house, making it clear that it had been on the market for some time. I immediately saw its potential as a house that was large enough to provide an office for Peter and a studio for me. As we drove back to Sydney, we discussed the pros and cons of relocating to Goulburn, and I wondered if the abandoned solid brick house would become our new home. Time would tell. On reflection. Bow Creek. I was, and continue to be, a city person at heart. Nonetheless, I was excited at the prospect of going bush with Peter, Knowing my practical approach to problem solving would be an asset that I'd already utilized whilst project managing the Bow Creek Cottage renovation. My ability to problem solve may have been the result of living overseas, in various environments, where creativity and flexibility were essential to stay safe. On the other hand, Peter understood the bush. After high school, he went jackarooing on a property at Mungandai, on the border between New South Wales and Queensland. I knew I'd a lot to learn about bush living, and felt confident that Peter would teach me what I needed to know. He was older, and all these years later, I accept that my attraction to him was an unconscious one, due to my need for a worldly father figure to replace my own father, from whom I was estranged. Once the Bow Creek Cottage was to lock up, we visited one last time to pick up Peter's furniture. Sometime later, the property sold to a local squatter, but not before Peter had a Grafton timber miller selectively fell numerous large eucalyptus trees, growing on Bow Creek's and cleared backcountry. Peter knew how to maximize profit, a skill I've yet to learn. F-111 Aardvark. My astounding encounter with an F-111 aircraft flying low over Bow Creek remains a strong memory. The aircraft represented cutting-edge aviation technology, which was in marked contrast to the old-fashioned building methods we were forced to use renovating the cottage. Facts. Bow Creek. Bow Creek is the perennial stream that feeds into the Deepwater River, then into Mole River, then into the Jumeresque River, which is one of a number that mark the boundary between New South Wales and Queensland. The water from these rivers ultimately become part of the Barwon River catchment, that takes water from the western side of the Great Dividing Range south, into the Murray-Darling Basin. General Dynamics F-111 Aardvark. These American aircraft were purchased by the Australian Defence Department in 1973. The aircraft design pioneered variable sweep wings, afterburning turbofan engines, and automated terrain following radar, for low-level high-speed flight, at a constant height of less than 22 metres. The last Australian Air Force F-111 was retired in 2010.